Do you remember when you had that first kid? Now, I mean, not like me personally, but like your wife, or if you are the wife, if you had that first kid and you looked into their eyes and you're like, wow, could I ever love anything as much as I love this thing right here? And then you're just terrified at the same time. I'm going to mess this thing up. And generally we do, but we just look at that and we're like, man, can I love her? Or we see the bride come down the aisle. Man, could I ever love her more than I do right now? But I will tell you, after a number of years, there are those moments where there's not a lot of love, let's be honest, all right? But there, as you continue to grow and you experience more, you're like, I do, I really love them more. And it gets less of the mushy kind of emotional kind of thing, and it begins to become the real kind of thing. Last week we started a story, and we're going to finish it up this week, with just Peter and Jesus. And what's happened is Jesus has been crucified and then resurrected. Peter has denied him. And last week, they got a big haul of fish happening, and then Jesus invited Peter to come and have breakfast with him. And back then, if you had a meal with someone, if you had breakfast or dinner, or you invited someone, that meant that you were friends. Or if you invited them after a fallout, you're inviting them to reconcile with you. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He is reconciling with Peter. Peter was the one at fault. Jesus says, come, let's have breakfast. Let's fix some of the fish that I just, you know, miraculously gave you in your boat. And so this week we're going to look at this interaction. So they've sat down and they're having some breakfast. And so in John, the 20th chapter, at about the 15th verse here. No, where am I, guys? Help me out. 21. I'm one off. John 21. It helps to mark your Bible in the right spot if you're going to preach about something. Just saying. All right. Here's Jesus, the 15th. When they had finished eating, and we're just going to walk along as we do this. Jesus said to Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, the word that he uses here is the word agape. Do you know what agape means? It means love, but it's like a divine love, the kind of love that God gives us, sacrificial love, not just surface love. There are three different kinds of words for love. Agape, like God-driven, divine kind of love. And then phileo is the word for brotherly love, like Philadelphia. What's Philadelphia, the city of? Of what? Okay. You know, homeschoolers shouldn't be allowed to respond during the sermon. All right. The city of brotherly love for all the rest of us. And, you know, Philadelphia. Phila, brotherly, love, city, Elphia, right? I went to college, a buddy here in from Arkansas. I went to college in Arkadelphia. That means city of Arca. City of Arkansas or something. Anyway, so you'll see that. Philadelphia, and then Eros love, which you'll see if you'll go to inappropriate places on the internet. All right, so those three kinds. So Jesus says, do you love me more than these? Do you have an agape, a God-given, God-driven, divine love toward me? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. And he says, phileo. I love you like a brother. Now, remember, Peter had denied Jesus just a few days before. And he saw the empty tomb, so there was hope within him about what this is. But he was kind of discouraged. And in fact, the whole thing, he's like, guys, let's just go fishing. We don't have anything else to do. And they're just in a place of confusion of what to do and how to proceed with anything. And, you know, how am I supposed to even tell this message about this empty tomb right now? Because Jesus and I are kind of on the outs. I really screwed up. And before that, though, here he is, and Jesus is on the mountain. It's called the Mount of Olives. It's a mountain with a bunch of olive trees. There are a lot of olive groves through there, and that's kind of where they usually hung out, and that's where Judas knew that they would be, and so that's why he betrayed them up there. And so here he is doing that, and Peter, he is all ready to defend Jesus. He's got his little sword going on, and they come to arrest Jesus, and he cuts off the ear of a guy named Malchus, who later became a disciple or follower of Jesus. Pretty cool story in church history. Cuts off his ear, and then Jesus heals it immediately, puts it back on. And then Peter and all of the disciples run off, and then John comes back a little bit later and kind of hangs out with Jesus' mother and takes care of her. But everybody else has kind of abandoned the outfit. So Peter here, he's like, man, I loved you. I thought that I had, like, divine love for you. I thought that I would die for you, but when push came to shove, Jesus, I do love you, but honestly, like a brother. And it is an interesting thing when we talk about Jesus or we talk about our relationship with Christ or following Jesus, a lot of us are willing to defend Christianity. We're willing to defend Jesus. We're willing to defend God or stand on something. Some of you guys are, you know, like your country, you're ready to go fight and do whatever. And we're really willing to fight and kind of stand up like that. But the thing about Christianity, real Christianity, the kind that you'll find in the Bible, it is not us fighting for Christ, fighting for Jesus, defending him. He can defend himself. It's about surrendering to him. We're willing to go fight everywhere and have arguments and fuss and just take it. But are we willing to surrender to Jesus and walk with him? That's a good question. A good question to ask, you know, sometime, I don't know, early in 2019. So he says, do you love me like the Father and I love each other? Okay, I thought I did, but the truth is, Lord, I love you. I do. Like a brother, you know I messed up, right? And so he keeps going. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. So he says, do you love me like the Father and I love each other? Yeah, I love you. I love you like your brother. And Jesus says, now I have a task for you. I want you to feed my sheep. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one that takes care of the sheep. In fact, he said, I am the gate. And back then, you would take a sheepfold, and it would be kind of a round type of deal. And when it says the gate, many of them did not have actual gates that would open and close. Some did. But the shepherd would take himself, his literal body, and he would lay down in front of the gate or the opening. And Jesus says, I'm the gate. Nobody comes in any other way than through me. Anybody that tries to come over the fence, they're a robber, they're a thief, and they're not literally, they're not genuine. They're trying to get in the sheepfold. That way you have to come through me. He says, I'm the gate, or I am the door. All right, so he says, I'm a shepherd. And so he's appointing here Peter. He says, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. I have a task for you. And then, verse 16 here. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John. I didn't realize his dad's name was John, but it was. Do you love me? Do you have agape love? He asks again. Same thing. Do you love me? Divine love. God-given, God-driven love, the kind of love that the Father and I have for one another. He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you, phileo, like a brother. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. So give them my word. Feed them. Give them what I told you. And then he says, take care of them. Watch over them. Encourage them. Walk with them. You know what Jesus said? Do what I have done. And when we talk about what it is, what the task is that God has given to us, it's pretty simple. Our primary mission in life, you want to know what your primary mission is, your primary purpose? Let God love you and love Him in return. We're not talking about pastoring, leading, worship, working with kids, being hospitable, doing motorcycle stuff, doing jail ministry, doing whatever ministry or thing that you're about or the task that you're about to do, feeding a homeless person. That is not the primary mission. The primary mission of your and my life is simply to know God. Did you know that? That's it. And you take that primary mission and you focus on that. And then, because you are connected to God, you're connected to the Father, and you are, as the Bible says, literally in Christ, then Jesus says, I know you, you know me, we are connected, do what I do. Do what I'm doing. That's what there was a stupid little kids program, and I can't get it out of my head, and it was, the kids would watch it all the time, and it was some Gullah Gullah Island or something. It was old, ancient thing, if you remember this thing, but they'd always sing, do what I'm doing, follow, follow me, and it's over, and the kids would get clap like I'm clapping, clap, clap like me, and everybody's doing this, you know, and it's just the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen, but you can't help yourself. You're just like, you know, march like I'm marching. Everybody's doing it, you know. When a three-year-old is doing it, everybody does it. You know, it's like the old thing. If a three-year-old hands you a phone, what do? You answer it. That's what you do. So do what I'm doing. And Jesus says, do what I have done. I've been, like, literally living with you for 3 years, teaching all along the way, teaching in public, but also teaching you, discipling you, showing you how to live, showing you what I do. Live in me and then do what I do. Rather than do what I do, be moral, be right, all that external stuff, instead Jesus says, live in me and then I will live through you and we will live out together. So he says, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, do you love me? And he uses the word phileo. So two agapes from Jesus, two phileos from Peter, and now one phileo from Jesus. And then the third time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Like phileo. And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And we know why, because Peter had denied him 3 times, right? And so he's remembering that. But he's reconciling him through that. You realize this, guys? The attitude of our world is no pain, no pain. The attitude of our world is don't feel guilty. Don't be shamed. Don't be shaming me. I will do whatever I want to and don't shame me. I will do whatever I desire to do, and don't judge me. Only Jesus can judge me, and He will, and it's not a pretty sight. Read Revelation. But the way that Jesus works is this. If I don't confront my sin, or I'm not confronted by my sin, or if I don't deal directly with my faults, my failures, my mistakes, my sins against God and against other people, guess what? I never heal from those. So Jesus doesn't pass by what Peter has done. He doesn't say, hey, let's go connect up. Let's have breakfast. I'm okay. You're okay. All is good. No, he says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? See, you denied me three times. But here I am reconciling to you. And Peter was hurt. And Jesus understood. If Peter doesn't deal or confront or confess or admit to his faults and to his sins, he can't heal from them, and he can't grow from them, and he can't be reconciled to me, because God is not a permissive God, but he is a loving God. He says, we'll deal with this sin. We'll deal with this wrong, and let's do this together. He says, do you love me? And he was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he says, phileo, again. And this is kind of interesting because he says, Lord, you know my heart. You know my thoughts. You know all my actions. And Peter's just, I love Peter. He's just kind of blunt. He says, you would know, Jesus, you'd know if I was lying to you right now. I love you as best I know how. I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then a weird little deal here. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me, which is really cool because it's the first interaction that we see of Jesus and Peter. Now, Peter had watched Jesus do teaching and things, but what was the very first thing that Jesus had said to Peter? He goes up to him. He's at his boat. And he says, guys, what? Follow me. Follow me. And when he says, follow me, do what I do. Watch what I do. See how I live. See how I go. See what I do. And when we talk about Peter here, and we talk about a guy that has really messed up, this is a guy that most of us can really connect with. We can really get this guy, right? He shoots off at the mouth a lot. He's kind of brash. He's like a lot of people that we know are like a lot of us are. We say things when we shouldn't, but he has a pretty good heart. He has pretty good intent, but he screwed up. I mean, he screwed up big time. He was supposed to be the leader of this group. He's the oldest of the disciples. Jesus is kind of appointing him. He's got all the leadership gifts. He's got all the abilities and the talents to do this. But all of the talent in the world and all the giftedness in the world doesn't matter if you just are doing it for Jesus as opposed to doing it in Jesus. Your primary mission is to know God. Your primary mission is to be in Christ. And then he lives in you and then lives out through you to other people. You do what Jesus does then rather than your own power. And here he is. He says, I thought I could do it. I thought I could be strong. I promise you, Jesus, I will not fail you. And Jesus says, before the cock crows, before the temple time tells in the morning, you'll deny me three times. And sure enough, he surely did. I thought I loved you. I was doing it for you, Jesus. I was living for you. But I faltered and I failed. Anybody identify with Peter here? I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to be all you want me to be. 2019 is my year. Yeah. January 2. 2020 is going to be my year. You know? I was reading a friend of mine. Her name is Megan McWayne. She says, I made 3 resolutions for 2019 this week, and I've already broken 5 of them. That's how it is. Don't make a resolution this year. Don't do it. Just determine that you're going to walk with Jesus. And guess what? I wish it weren't so because I love you tons. And I wish it weren't for me because I wish I was a better person. But I'm going to walk with Jesus something like this year. How about you? And the question is not, will you fall, or will you falter, or will you try to do it yourself and depend upon yourself at some point? We just seem to do that. The question is, will you? And there were two different people here. Judas betrayed Jesus too. Peter denied Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. Judas went out and hung himself. Peter went out and felt sorry for himself. And when Jesus said, come back, come to me, he was on the fishing boat. And John says, man, that's Jesus. Peter jumps out of the water and hauls it in. He runs to Jesus when he screwed up. Jesus has his arms out. He has the offer out. And Peter, instead of going and feeling shamed and guilt that led to complete and total distance from God, he felt guilt and shame. And when he saw this person, Jesus, he dealt with it. He confessed it, and he reconciled to him. And guys, just a couple, literally, we're in John. And just a couple of chapters later, Peter is going to preach the first sermon of the Christian church on the temple steps, on the rabbinical steps of the temple. And thousands of people are going to come to Christ. Not because Peter was eloquent, because he certainly wasn't. Not because Peter was talented, or not because Peter was awesome. But because why? He knew Jesus. Later on, they were talking, these temple guys, and they saw what Peter and all the different apostles and the disciples were doing. And their one comment was, man, it's obvious they've been with Jesus. They sound like Jesus. They sound just like that guy. Didn't we kill him off? They sound just like him. And now there's like 12 of them. There's thousands of them running around. All these little Jesuses. We tried to kill one. And all these little Jesuses running around now. What are we going to do with that? They were literally confused about what to do. They couldn't knock them off quick enough, because they just kept multiplying. All these little Jesuses coming about. That's the vision, really, of the church, guys. Have you been with Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Then you turn around and do what Jesus did. You act like Jesus acted. You love like Jesus loved. All of us, a bunch of little Jesuses running around. But we falter and we fail. And the question is, not will we falter or fail, but what will we do when we do? Will we run to Jesus, or will we run away from him? And that's the question. This year, the focus, instead of, I'm going to do like Jesus, instead it's, Jesus, I just want to know you. Jesus, I just want to live with you. Jesus, I just want to be yours. Everybody gets focused on read your Bible through a year thing. Now, if you do that, by all means, I encourage you to do that. But you know what I do? I will confess what I do. Maybe this isn't very holy or very pastorly of me, but I read one chapter out of the Bible. Sometimes I read one from the New Testament and the Old Testament, but I read one chapter from the Bible, and I mark that poor little Bible up. And I used to not do that, but now I do. And I mark that little Bible up, and I take notes, and I try to eat up that one chapter. And then I pray about what I read, and I talk to God about what I read, and I see how I'm wrong in reflection of that. And if you go on mission with us, or you take our class, we'll teach you how to observe, apply, and then pray over what you've read. And that's what I do. Maybe it's not holy enough for some, but that's what I do. And guys, it is not about reading the Bible through in a year. Again, if you do that, more power to you. MPTY, man. But it is not about reading through the Bible in the year. It is about being in the Bible all year long. So are you with Jesus Are you in the scriptures? Are you in the word that he loves, that he gave us? Are you living it out? Do you love Jesus? Do you love me? That's really bad, because every time I read this, it's like I hear Jesus go, "Do you love me?" I hear that. And then the disciples, "Do you love me?" I hear the other 10 over here, and it's like, okay, now you'll never read that the same way, and it's messed up. And that's not how it happened, but that's what I see when do you love me? Do you love me divine love? Like the Father and I love each other? Can you be honest and I be honest? Jesus, I don't really love you like that. I don't really love you that much. I'm not able to do that. I love you like a brother. And you know what Jesus said? Do you love me divine love? Love you like a brother. Do you love me divine love? Love you like a brother. Do you really love me like a brother? I do. I love you like a brother. All right, feed my sheep. And Jesus comes down to Peter. He doesn't say, "Well, brotherly love is not enough. You need the divine agape love." He doesn't do that. He says, "Let brotherly love continue." That's what Paul said. Love me like, love me, know me, live with me, let me live in you, walk with me, go with me. We can walk this journey together and we can grow toward a greater love. We can move toward a more divine love. And I don't know when you get there, but I know I'm not there. And Peter wasn't there. And maybe by the time Peter did die, he was there. I don't know. I don't get to monitor that kind of thing or even measure that kind of thing. That's up to God. It's his problem. God's got a lot of problems, and a lot of his problems aren't ours. We're just taking them on. That's just bonus material. You don't even have to tithe on that. But it is walking with Christ, living with Christ. He comes down to us. We just celebrate Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. He comes to us. I can't get to God. I can't do divine love. I can't acquire perfection. I can't acquire righteousness. So what does Jesus do? He comes to you. Emmanuel, God with us. But I can't live for Jesus either. I just can't obey the laws, that all these laws that are in here. I can't keep my promises and my commitments to Jesus. And Jesus comes down to us and he says, "I know, come back. Let's have breakfast. Let's walk together. Do you love me? I love you like a brother. Okay. Do what I do. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now that you know me, you can live through me. Be little Jesus running around everywhere." This year, do that. Read a chapter a day. And guess what? You're reading through, people do that. Read through the Bible. You get somewhere in Leviticus, these things die. I mean, it's like, who begat what? Who cares? And they do. But if you can plow on through that, you will be served very well by doing that. But they die. Oh, I forgot to read my chapter today. Oh, well, God, that's just like me. And we start to think and talk negative. That's just like me. And you know, it's a week. And then we find out we're pretty weak too, because we haven't been with Jesus. Instead of falling and instead of that, falling and running back to Jesus. That's the journey and that's the path. And you realize you'll fall less and you'll fall less and you'll fall less. Why? Because you're learning to walk. You're learning to grow, just like a child learning to walk. But by the time you're a little bit older, you're like Michelle running a race, you know. They're just fast. But it takes training and it takes time and it takes walking. Wherever you are in that spot, I know a lot of people that are old and they have been in church all their lives and they are no more mature than some people I know that have, now, you know, Bible stuff, but they haven't been with Jesus. It's a religious thing to them. And they're some of the crankiest, orneriest, most obnoxious people you've ever met. They're the church ladies and the church guys, the demon deacons. It's those guys. They're annoying. Why? Because they have it here. They've got theology. I mean, Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you have divine love? How about this? Do you know me theologically? Do you believe in me in your head? Yeah, I know all that. And Jesus comes down and he says, do you know me personally? Do you know me like a brother? Do you know me like that? Are we walking together? Up here is one thing, in here is another. And when you're up here and then you try to do the hands and feet of Jesus, they're not together. When you do it here, you start to live it out, and then you are the hands and feet. You walk with him this year, guys. And if you know him, just kind of mentally, God, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe you're God's son. But you don't know him personally, and you're not walking with him personally. Understand this personal relationship, this experience together. That's why Jesus came. Jesus doesn't need to start another religion. He didn't care. He came to reconcile us to him. That's exactly what he offered Peter. It's exactly what he offers you. Walk with him this year. Let's do this. Let's pray. And I'm going to invite you, if you don't know Jesus personally, to take this moment and receive him, receive his gift of eternal life right now. You pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I do believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. I believe you ascended to heaven and are at the right hand of the Father ruling right now. I believe you're coming again. And Jesus, I want to be your follower. And I've sinned, and I need to deal with that right now. And I need you to deal with it because I can't do it for myself. So I ask you humbly to forgive me of my sins, to be my Savior, rescue me from my sins, and come into my heart, send your Holy Spirit to live inside of me, and lead me. I want to walk with you. I want to live with you. I want to be yours. And you've promised me a home with you forever in heaven and beyond. So I receive that gift right now. By faith and trust in you, in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I ask that you would, as we go into this year, as we go even into this week, just this day, let's just take it one step at a time, Lord. We want to know you. We want to walk with you. We want to be yours. We want to be like brothers as best we know. We just want to have you live in us. And flow through us. And then whatever you do in the world, we want to join in with you. We just want to follow you and be your hands and feet. We want to do that as a church and be just little Jesuses everywhere. But most of all, Lord, we just want to know you and love you and trust you and walk with you. That is our one and only goal this year. Commit ourselves to it. In Jesus' name I pray.